The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, the holiday season can be a deeply lonely time, but Sheila Walsh reminds us that God sees us and is with us.
From Genesis all the way to the cross, all the way through Christmas, when that baby comes wrapped in those cloths that maybe the priests wore, to Christ dying on the cross and rising again, it's always been about God's redemptive plan, that we don't have to live alone anymore, that God has come to us.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm hanging out with Randy Robison today.
Yes,
it's going to be a great day.
Oh, yeah.
Another great day.
Yeah.
We have someone so special in the house. Thank you for watching Life Today, and thank you, Sheila, for being such a part of Life Today. Yeah. You've set me up for something very special in my life, as God has transitioned you in so many new places in your life. One of my favorite things that's happening right now in your life is your brand new book, The Gifts of Christmas. So we were talking about this yesterday, and there's so many great days and stories in your book. And I'm just going to dive in. And I want to hear, okay, I'm going to actually take you to the day, day 9, write this down. Can you tell me about the Candy King? I didn't know so much about this. So there's so many, I'm just going to say this. There's so many great stories in this book. Inspiring stories, so many great scriptures, so many things about the Word of God, all wrapped around Christmas that honestly I didn't know. So even the Candy King was one of them, and I'm like, I've got to ask her about the Candy King because we all want to know.
Of course we do.
Yes.
Well, it's funny because it actually came out of, do you ever do a radio interview and they're asking, tell me one thing about you that your audience doesn't know?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, we're all on social media. My audience knows way more than they already want to know about me. And so I'm doing this radio interview, and the guy says, tell me one thing about you that your audience doesn't know. And I'm looking down at my desk, and I said, I always have a dish of candy canes on my desk. And he said, you mean in December? And I'm like, no, all year. I love candy canes, so I always have them. So it made me a little curious as to, well, you know, where did they come from? And it's a sweet story, really.
It's
a church in Germany, and they're rehearsing for the Christmas pageant, and they have a children's choir, and the choir director can't get the kids to behave during rehearsal because they're little kids. You know what it's like with little kids. They're all making noises, and that's fine for their part, but when it comes to the more serious and bringing the message, they're all talking, so he's thinking, what on earth can I do? So he goes to the local candy maker in the village and said, can you make something that we could give each one of the kids that, you know, they can suck on and keep them quiet? So he comes up with this peppermint stick, and so he gets it back to the choir director and says, what do you think of this? And he was like, yeah, but it kind of looks a little irreverent, just a candy stick, you know, for a Christmas Eve thing. So what they decide to do is they bend the top over and make it look like a shepherd's crook.
Uh-huh.
So
yes,
that's how it begins. So each one of these children in the choir held their little shepherd's crook, and it seemed, and it kept them quiet, and it looked like it was part of the Christmas story.
I loved it. And honestly, I'll never look at a candy cane the same again. Like, even hanging it on my tree. I love that there's so many great moments in your book like that are teachable. But there's something always based around all these little details about Jesus and about his birth. And I want to ask you then, like, do you have a favorite memory, a Christmas time memory that you always go back to every year that's the most meaningful to you?
Well, it's funny. And I think it ended up being the first devotion in the book because it's one of my most potent Christmas memories. We had the same routine that my grandmother would come over every Christmas Eve, and she'd help my mom get ready for the Christmas meal, and then she'd spend the night. And then when my brother and sister and I would wake up, and we'd start, my sister was always well behaved, but my brother and I were not. We'd start at 4 o'clock in the morning. Mom, you know, can we get up? And she'd like, no, go back to bed. We'd try 5. Usually by 7, we were allowed to get up on Christmas morning. And we would come downstairs, and my mom would go down first to see if Santa Claus had been. And then she would say, okay, you come down. Well, the only thing I wanted that Christmas was this beautiful baby doll. Our little fishing town in Scotland, you know, the west coast of Scotland, just a little town, had one toy store. And my nose was glued to the toy store window because, A, it had the Robbie the Robot, which my brother wanted, but it had this beautiful baby doll. And that's all I wanted for Christmas. And so we run downstairs, and my brother's gifts were always on the table. My sisters were on the chair to the left of the fire and mine to the right of the fire. And so I almost didn't even dare looking at mine first. Yeah. I looked at Frances, and she had books which would keep her busy and antisocial for weeks. My brother had his robot. And so I finally looked at my chair, and she wasn't there.
Aww.
And my mom said, Sheila, you're not opening any of your presents. And I was like, oh, sorry. And so I opened up some puzzles and a couple of things. And she said, are you not going to look at your main gift? And I was like, what main gift? Mm. She said, Sheila, look at your feet. And there under my chair was the baby doll. Mm. And I mean, I just remember the absolute joy. But I thought, how many years do you and I go through where we miss the gift at our feet? You know, it's like we think, well, this is what Christmas is about, or that's what Christmas is about. And or you find yourself in a tough place right now. I mean, I honestly think, and I mean, I have no scripture to back this up, but I honestly think since COVID, life's been different. Mm. In the, I just think things are different. Our son is studying clinical psychology, and he came over today, and he was having a meal with his dad and I, and we were talking about one of the things that's a recent phenomena, and it's not anxiety, it's social anxiety, where people don't really know how to be around people anymore. And they think a lot of that happened during COVID, where people are isolated, and now they're finding themselves in very socially isolated situations. And I think of the number of people, even our own viewers, who find themselves lonely, questioning things, wondering, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? And it's so easy, even as believers, to miss the gift that was laid right at our feet.
Yes.
That Christ promised peace. He promised that he is the hope. He didn't just say, I've got a way. He said, I am the way, the truth. I am life. So it's just one of those pulling stories from your life, but to remind them of this greater story that's always true.
Sometimes we're missing it because our focus is on something totally different, or where we think we're going to find something, and we miss it so many times. And I think so many times people also like, I've missed it, I'm just going to move on. My faith isn't as great. I'm lost. I'm only ever going to be lost and without. But when we change that paradigm and then see that, and we focus in a different place, and then we see it, like you say, at your feet or wherever that is.
Yeah.
But there's so, and it's almost the least place that you'd want to look maybe is there, because you're looking at the chair where everything should be. It should have its place.
Right.
But you found it in a different place.
I know.
And sometimes I think maybe we need to stop looking in the same places we've always been looking, because you're not finding there. So start looking in a different place for Jesus.
There is something about this longing. Mm. I mean, I've read it. So many people, even like famous authors and playwrights and people who talked about, I read a story of a guy yesterday who said, you know, I'm out of here because I've spent my life looking for success, got success, climbed to the top of the ladder, and that box is empty.
Wow.
And I think it's this part of every one of us. It's like in our DNA that we were made not to go to church, we were made to know God, to know Jesus in a personal way. And that to me is what the longing is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think that sometimes it takes something like the Christmas season, the Advent season,
absolutely,
to remind us this is what your longing is for.
I it's interesting when you talk about the COVID thing, because I see the blessing of solitude can become the curse of loneliness.
True.
The blessing of fellowship can become the curse of social anxiety. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. I think it's in that name we hear around Christmas, Emmanuel.
God with us.
Mm-hmm. Because when we know God is with us, we can enjoy the fellowship and the community, but yet we can also enjoy the solitude because we're never alone.
Yeah.
And I love that. And you mentioned the shepherds, the candy cane bit. There's another chapter where you talk about something with the shepherds, the grace that was shown to shepherds. And that really stands out to me because I think a lot of our anxiety comes from the reality that we're not good enough for God. Can really God, does he want to be with us? I mean,
I
look at me. But what do we learn from the shepherds?
I love that God came to the boys on the night shift. I just love
right,
that.
Right.
That's awesome.
There's something about the fact that Christ, you know, that the angel came to give the announcement about Christ to shepherds who were the most, I didn't realize this until fairly recently, the most despised people in the community.
It was the low level.
Yeah, and if the shepherds even tried to go through the town, merchants would throw things at them.
Wow.
But the other thing I found that was interesting is, you know, if you go way back to Genesis, to the story of Joseph, and his brothers, as you know, I mean, they've trafficked him into Egypt. I mean, it's a disaster. Then they end up 14 years later in desperate need of his help. Mm-hmm. And they think, once they realize this is the brother that we thought we'd got rid of, he's now in power. We're coming to him. You know, he's going to get his own back. And but he's not like that because of the grace that God has shown in his life. But what I think is interesting is they say to him, all we'd really like to do is keep doing what we do, you know, look after our dad's flocks. So he says to them, tell them you're shepherds. Because if you tell the Egyptians you're shepherds, they'll send you to the outskirts. You'll still be able to get all the food you need, but if they think you're shepherds, they'll keep you well away from the other Egyptians. Mm. That right from the beginning of Genesis, you see these were the least, these are the people who are not invited to the party. These were the people that everybody else despised. And the fact that the angel was sent to say to these people, good news to all men, not just good news to people in the village, not just good news to people in the palace, but good news to the people on the hillside that nobody else would talk to.
Well, and it wasn't the priests, necessarily.
No.
You know, it wasn't the educated, it wasn't the powerful.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It was the least, and that is such a beautiful message. And Christmas is just that time where if we can understand the significance of it, the real meaning of it, not the commercialization that I react to negatively, but the real God is with us, and he's come to the lowest of the low. There's such a beauty in that, Sheila. I love all the stories that you share. Is there any one particular one that is your favorite?
Well, it's even just going further into that whole story of the shepherds and the fact that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths. I spent some time hanging with Rabbi Jason Sobel, who I know we've had on Life. And Jason talked about the fact that they're not just regular old shepherds. They're the Levitical shepherds. They're the ones out in the field who are getting all the lambs that would be ready for slaughter. And so when the angel says, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, they know exactly where to go. It's the birthing cave. It's not, you know, like we tend to think it's a, you know, kind of shed. No, it's the birthing cave where all the lambs would be born that had to be kept pure for sacrifice. And the fact that Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, would be there. But even the swaddling cloths, when, you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth's husband was a priest. He was one that would get the chance to go into the temple and every now and again. And so they would use these priestly robes. Once they were no longer able to be used, they'd be torn up and they would be used to clean the candles or other things. It's quite possible that Elizabeth gave Mary some of these cloths that had been used in a place of worship to wrap her little one in that birthing cave. There's just so much about the Christmas season that says, do you see? Because here's what I think. Right from the beginning, from Genesis, when we blew it, you know, when we had this perfect plan and we were never supposed to die, that's why people feel a sense of, no, this was never supposed to happen when you lose someone. It was never God's plan. But then they rebel and they disobey and it's a mess and they're thrown out of Eden. And it's the grace of God that they're thrown out of Eden because if they stayed, they would eat from the tree of life and live forever. Broken. God says no. But I love Miroslav Volf wrote this thing where he said that, so either we will be dressed in animal skins for the rest of our life, because that's what God did. He killed the animal. Or this is the first step on the way to a better wardrobe. And that's exactly what it's all about, from Genesis all the way to the cross, all the way through Christmas, when that baby comes wrapped in those cloths that maybe the priests wore, to Christ dying on the cross and rising again. It's always been about God's redemptive plan that we don't have to live alone anymore, that God has come to us.
Mm-hmm. Something to celebrate.
Yes.
Something to celebrate. No wonder you don't like the commercialization of it, because there's something more powerful here that so many of us miss. We get so caught up in the busyness, in the stress of it, that we don't take a moment to stop and think about what every component means, every detail of the birth of Christ means, everything that was put into place And that's what I feel like when I pick up this devotion, Sheila. I'm just like, this, I've learned so much. Or even that, I didn't know about the shepherds.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, it's so cool. I didn't know about that. And when you even think about, you know, we've always talked about Jesus being born in a stable. It's like, well, maybe it was a cave. And it was a cave. And it's like, that's the image of that is just, it changes for me. I'll never see it differently anymore. But you teach us. You're such a great teacher.
Thank you.
When you talk, you light up. When you're talking about Jesus, when you're talking about the things of God, I love it because you kind of scooch up in your chair all the time. And you, I don't know if you noticed. It's great. And you just go. And I just lean in. I learned so much from you. So this is a gift. And, you know, I'll go back and visit it many times throughout the year. I thank you for it. You talk about the star, day three. Mm. I love it because it's about when you're at Life Today and you travel to Angola with Life Outreach. And I got to travel to Angola one time. I said one time because we stayed in tents out in the middle of nowhere. No electricity, no running water. Mm. And we slept in tents for 3 or 4 days.
What did you see that you have never seen before?
Well, I saw what Abraham saw.
Yes, exactly. That's why I thought, you know, the humanness of me was like, this is really hard. I don't have a bathroom. Sheila, what I loved is when you wrote it in your book, I could totally relate. The night that was so dark as dark, when you walk out of that tent and you look up and you'd see the stars, there was something that happened. And I love how you write about it in your book.
Well, it was just so amazing because my tent was next to Janice, who takes most of our photographs. And, you know, you're right. I mean, it's like there's no electricity. There's nothing anywhere. And so I had my little helmet on with my little, I mean, I felt like a miner, like I'm down there getting coal. And Janice said, Sheila, bring your sleeping bag outside. Yeah. So I dragged my sleeping bag outside and we both lay down there and I looked up. And honestly, I wept.
Yeah.
Because it's like when God said to Abram, look at the stars. Mm-hmm. And we forget back then there's no electricity. So he sees everything. Yeah. Because I didn't realize how much our commercial lights and living in cities and towns, it dulls everything.
Yeah. Everything.
But suddenly we look and we just look up. And even though you're in the middle of Africa and you're very far away from anything that you call convenient, but you suddenly see the awe and the wonder of our God.
Yes.
It was just...
I thanked God for that moment. Mm. I think I felt the same way. Like you could take it all away. Mm-hmm. And if this were my last moment that you gave me, God, like I felt like I was, it was just me and Him in the big universe. You created the stars just for me in just this moment. So far away from everything.
Yeah.
But yet I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm out there and I'm like... Imagine for most of the history of the world, people have seen what we saw in Angola. Yeah. And again, I've never seen anything like that. And I've been places like Alaska, some dark areas around the U.S., but nothing like that. The clarity, the lack of moisture in the sky, the moon was not out.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, for how long have people looked up like this and thought, there's so much more out there than we realize? How big is this universe? How big is God? What is out there? And the beauty of Christmas is that God comes to us.
I know. Mm. That's what's mind-blowing.
Right?
That's what brings me to my knees, that He would leave the wonder of that. It's like that story of the man and the birds, you know, where the man is trying to help birds. It's a cold night and the birds are hitting his window trying to get inside. And he thinks, no, you know, so he opens the barn, puts a light on, see if they'll go in there. And they won't go in there because they're scared of him. And he thinks, I would need to become like them. I'd need to become a bird so they'd follow me. Mm. And he's not a believer. And suddenly he hears the church bells playing, O come all ye faithful. And he sinks to his knees in the snow and he thinks, that's what you did.
That's what God did.
That's exactly what you did.
Wow. I love that story. I love it. So many great stories. I hope people will request the gifts of Christmas. It will be a gift to you that you can give to others. And Sheila, thank you for letting us get to talk about it, putting it together, spending the time.
Too. Yes.
No, it's wonderful. But, you know, the biggest gift that many of you can give is, one, to many of the people in Angola and other countries where we do mission feeding, because this is the only expression of God that some of them have ever seen, this love that says we would come to you as Christ came to us and give you what you need for life. So I just want you to take a minute and watch this and pray and say, Lord, what can I do to be a part of sharing your love? Watch this and you'll see how it's possible.
We're here in rural Angola, and we've been talking to you about the drought that has ravaged this area. Not a one-year drought, not a two-year drought, 5 years of drought. 5 years they've not had enough rainfall to grow a single crop. If you look here, you'll see the what's left of this farm is just dry remnants of a crop that used to be.
How has the drought affected your ability to, the lack of rain affected your ability to be able to farm?
A falta de chuva, primeiro essa seca que nós cultivamos, todo o milho mesmo secou, não colhemos mesmo nada. Assim tem já que fechar a porta para dormir, para as crianças não saírem, senão vai nos vizinhos e pedir comida. Tem que dormir cedo. Tem que dormir mesmo cedo, sim.
Uau. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sinto muito por essa situação.
Oh, sorry, mom. Oh, I'm sorry, man. What's wrong? Shame, I'm sorry, mommy. I know that she would provide for her children. Give her half a chance. Just give her the rain that she needs and she'll cultivate that land. She will work herself as hard as she has to work to provide for those children. But it never rains anymore, is what she said. 5 years of drought. I hope you feel like I do, and if you do, then I'm asking you to please say yes. I'm going to be a part of bringing food and changing this situation for this mother, for her child, so that she doesn't have to close the door early anymore before they go to bed hungry.
Isaac, I do feel like you feel. I do want to help. And I know that there are so many watching today that feel the same way when you see a piece like that and just think, what can I do to help? And is it even reachable? Is it doable? And the beautiful thing is, it absolutely is. This bowl right here is life-changing, life-giving. I would love to send a different story to that mama that says, keep the doors wide open. There's enough for you. There's enough for your neighbors. There's enough for that entire village. So we can do that if we come together today. We can do that, not just for her, but so many other children, so many other families. Would you help us today fill this bowl? Fill it in more and more and more so that we can go out and change the world one life at a time. It's completely doable. Right now, Randy, we are feeding every day 350,000 children.
Right.
It's amazing, but there's so many more that need this food. And so we have a vision. We've got it all in place, but it's going to take you to join with us.
Right. And the only reason we can feed 350,000 children every day is because viewers like you have made it possible, and we need to continue. As you saw there, the drought is ongoing, and there are other situations in other countries where we do the mission feeding, as you've seen, Tammy, where you find children who are going to bed hungry.
Yeah.
And we just believe no child should ever go to bed hungry. And I know that happens here in the United States and in Canada, Australia. In these areas where we're talking about, you've got parents who have worked their whole lives to provide what little they can. And now something has happened to where even that hard work doesn't pay off. It's not neglect. That child could maybe go ask the neighbors for food, and the neighbors probably won't have any food either. It's what we call abject poverty. And it's into this difficult situation, this hopeless situation, that viewers like you have brought hope over the years. And we want to continue. Will you make a gift today towards Mission Feeding that will enable this to continue, to help for however it longs to get these children out of the state of malnutrition that they're in so that they can return to school and maybe, you know, sometimes helping with the harvest when it does come in. Here's how it works. A gift today of $30 will help feed three children for the next 3 months. A gift of $50 will help feed five children for the next 3 months. $100, 10 children. You see how it works. And it only works that way because we have the people and the processes in place that we've developed over the years. And when we go in with that bowl of food, of nourishment, we go in with the love of Jesus Christ. We feed their bodies and we feed their souls. Many of you could make a $1,000 gift today and feed 100 children for the next 3 months. Maybe 3,000, 5,000, 10, whatever it is God puts on your heart. The important thing is a response. You see a need, it's very real. You are the solution. Will you respond today? I pray that you will.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8 and will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you will make the best gift you can. You are going to make a difference in someone's life, not just physically, but spiritually, as we share the gospel and share food. And if you will request Sheila's book today, The Gift of Christmas, it will make a wonderful gift for you.
It's awesome.
Isn't it great?
Yes, I can tell you and I can vouch for that. It is an awesome book. You'll want to get the book. So
can I just say to you, please, please, please give to Mission Feeding. I've been there. I've been on the ground. I've seen the difference. This is life-changing. It's wonderful.
So. Thank you.
Wow,
thank
yeah,
you
yeah.
for that. And thank you again for this book. And you can have this if
can
you
I
want
have?
It.
I
All
do.
Right.
I do want it.
But
one
you're
going
to have
mom.
To request your own. Thanks for being with us. We'll
yes.
see you again next time on Life Today.
During my battle with Crohn's disease, I took 30 different products, not capsules a day, bottles. None of them worked.
Jordan Rubin and the probiotic diet next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.